Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Westview, I'd invite you to follow along, please, as I read aloud these words from the book that we love. Starting here, John chapter 4, verse 43. After the 2 days, he, that is Jesus, left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son who was close to death. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. The royal official said, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus replied, you may go. Your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, the fever left him yesterday at the seventh hour. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. So he and all his household believed. This was the second miraculous sign that Jesus performed, having come from Judea to Galilee. Amen. So can we look at verse 48? Because this might be the most difficult verse in this entire passage. And it might be the most important. It's both insightful and it's troubling. It speaks to the tension that I feel, and maybe some of you feel, when it comes to this relationship between signs and faith. Because on one hand, we have this gospel in front of us that we're studying throughout the season of Lent. And it's a gospel, we just said, that has a specific purpose. John includes these very signs that we are studying so that we may believe. So that we may know and understand that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God. That these signs are here to lead us to believe so that we can have life in the name of Jesus. And yet, the question is seeing, is having tangible evidence before us, is that faith? If faith is, as the writer of Hebrews defines it, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And then you enter verse 48. Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe. What is the peculiar relationship between signs and having faith? I don't know if I have all the answers for this. But what I do have is this passage, the second sign in John's gospel. And what I'd love to do with you this morning is to explore it with you, because I think there are some observations we can make here that will help us get our minds around what we'll call a growing faith. And I like that term. As I was reading and studying for this passage, this idea of a growing faith, because it does not matter how old we are, it does not matter how young we are, how many times we have made the trip around the sun, right? In age, it doesn't matter if we're Gen West or if we're seasoned citizens. And it does not really matter either how old we are in what we would call the faith, right? Some of us perhaps have been following Jesus for years and years and years, and we started when we were small and have gone to church our whole lives and followed Jesus our whole lives. Or maybe some of us are pretty new to this Jesus thing, or we're just exploring this Jesus thing. You know, it doesn't matter what sort of age we're talking about here. Faith is not a destination. Faith is not a place that we arrive at someday and we say, all right, accomplish that. We've arrived. Check it off the list. Faith is an active and ever-developing aspect of our discipleship, of our following Jesus. And this growing faith that is ours lends itself to help us find connection in several moments here in this passage. Whoever we are and however we are experienced in this discipleship, this life with Jesus Christ. So let's look at this passage. Let's start at the very top here, at the very few beginning verses that we looked at here, the setup to the passage, which I don't know, when I read these verses, almost feels unnecessary. But one of the things we learned last week when we were learning and talking about the Gospel of John is that anytime John puts some specific details in there, we need to pay attention. And so what we find is that Jesus has made it back to Galilee. He had just spent some time earlier in chapter 4 in Samaria, of all places. Yeah, you know, he's talking, that's the passage where he talks to the Samaritan woman at the well, and that's a whole nother passage for a whole nother time that we can explore. But he's made his way through Samaria back to Galilee. He's home. And in my Bible, the editor decided to put that next little verse there in parentheses. Yours too? Right? Almost a parenthetical statement here. It's not in the Greek, I assure you of that. It's an editor's choice. But it's there, and it's almost like, hey, by the way, Jesus is the one who said that a prophet has no honor in their hometown. This is why I probably will never take a call to First Reformed Hall. Sorry, Mom and Dad, if you're watching. A prophet has no honor in their hometown. And yet what happens when Jesus goes back to Galilee? It says the Galileans welcomed him with open arms. Seems like they're glad, they're excited that he's back. Why? Well, it says because of the cool things he was doing down in Jerusalem. They were down there too. They had pilgrimage down to Jerusalem for the Passover feast, and they saw Jesus doing some neat things down there. And their excitement and their welcoming of Jesus is based on what? We might say even their belief in Jesus is due to what? Due to the things that he had done. John then tells us that Jesus makes his way back to Cana, which is where he had performed that first sign, the water into wine. And it's here that John now introduces us to a certain royal official from Capernaum. He is a noble. He is someone who is high up in Herod Antipas's service. He is someone who is due respect. He is someone who is used to giving and handing out orders. And upon hearing that the water into wine turning, the great things doing Jesus, is back in Cana, this royal official goes to Jesus. And in my Bible, it says these three little words. It says, he went to him. And friends, those three little words do not give us in the 21st century a full understanding of what this means. But the first readers of John's gospel, they would appreciate how desperate this father is and what he is doing. He went from Capernaum to Cana. Let me illustrate this a little bit here. If you turn your attention to the screen, we're going to look at a first map here. I want you to get a sense of what this looks like here. So kind of smack dab in the middle, just a little to the right, you'll see the Sea of Galilee, that big blue lake there. If you look to the top, and we would say to the west, so north, northwest, you see Capernaum there along the seashore there. If you go straight down to Tiberias and then over to the left, you'll see the city of Nazareth in red. Just north of Nazareth, you see Cana. This royal official went from Capernaum to Cana. It would be about a 20-mile journey by foot. Now, I want to show you another map so that we can appreciate the rigorous travel that this would have been. So again, Capernaum, and you can see kind of the little triangle there. That's where most of Jesus' ministry takes place, especially in the Synoptic Gospels. But you see Capernaum, and then if you go down and to the left, you see again Cana, and we get a glimpse of the ruggedness of the terrain that this royal official had to cross. It was not the Clive Greenbelt Trail. Smooth, flat, with shade trees all around. It was up and down and all the way through. Difficult journey for him, 20 miles to go. All because he wants, really, all because he needs Jesus to do another miracle. His son is sick. His son is really sick. Now, parents don't blink an eye when they read or when they see the lengths that this father would go for his child. Parents understand the heartache that is felt when our little ones have a fever or a cold or have a flu or a strep throat, and how parents, we would just do anything we could do to take that away, to take the discomfort away from our child. Or if the situation is even more significant, right? There's no cost, there's no lengths, anything that's out of the realm of possibility that we would not do for our child. This royal official is willing to do anything so that his child will be healed. He travels 20 rigorous miles to come and beg at the feet of Jesus. And that's an image I want you to have in your mind as well. Think about this with me, that this royal official who is high up in the service of Herod is begging at the feet of a Galilean carpenter. Come and heal my son. I would suggest to us this morning that in this moment, there is faith. Now, is it the same kind of faith, the full-on faith that we sometimes talk about when we talk about that at church and you know, having a faith and receiving the good news of Jesus Christ, life, death, resurrection of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Is it that kind of faith? No. But there is faith in this royal official. I mean, it takes a measure of faith to leave your son alone and make this long, difficult walk to Cana. It takes a measure of faith to humble yourself before a carpenter and beg Jesus to come and heal your son. Now, I realize, and I think we all realize this morning, that this faith that the royal official has is based on the first sign that took place in Cana and the other cool things that Jesus did in Jerusalem. But it's faith nonetheless. It's a part of growing faith. And might we say this morning that this is where our faith journey often begins? That this could be where some of us are at in our discipleship journey, in our measure of faith. That as we think about our walk with Jesus, maybe we are kind of like those Galileans, or we started out like those Galileans where we welcomed Jesus because of the cool things we heard about him doing, or the neat things we were taught in Discovery Hour, or the things that we have seen Jesus do, and that is where our faith begins, because Jesus can do these things. We've seen these things. We know him as a miracle worker, and oh man, we are so aware that we could use a miracle or two in our lives. So friends, I'm not going to stand up here this morning and say that this is wrong, because that's where my faith began. And maybe that's where your faith began. And maybe that's where your faith is today. And I'm going to be honest with you, there's times where I'm still there. I understand that Jesus is the one who can get me out of some jams, and sometimes I pray and I say, Jesus, can you do some Jesus things right now? Because I could really use your help. There's moments that's where my faith is at. You too? Some of us might resonate with that, and that's okay. Here's the thing, faith is a dynamic part of our life with Jesus. Faith is not always, if ever, just a linear path straight up and to the right. Faith is a little bit more like we'll call it like a seismograph reading. You know what that is? You know what that measures? An earthquake, right? So sometimes I look at this, I'm like, that looks like my faith journey. Get strong, up and down, up and down. And what I appreciate about this picture, you see the parts where it goes off the scale? I feel that. You too? Part of a growing faith. We see here. Sometimes this do, in fact, story begins by understanding who Jesus, what Jesus is doing and what he's done. Now, I'm going to follow that up by saying very clearly that that does not give us permission to punt on faith development. Because verse 48 does show up here. And verse 48 speaks ever so clearly that faith is not only to be based on helpful miracles to get us out of sticky situations. Faith is more than just witnessing something wonderful, and then I'm going to believe. Faith, a growing faith, is just that. It grows. It is to take next steps so that we are not reliant on things that we witness or hardcore evidence to actually have faith. Growing faith continues to develop. And we see this faith in this royal official who comes and begs at the feet of Jesus. We see his faith grow. Jesus responds in verse 48, and it's almost as if the royal official doesn't even hear it. And maybe not, because the words of Jesus are not aimed directly at him. The words there, unless you people, you there is plural. This is a blanket statement to all those Galileans who are trying to be buddy-buddy with Jesus because of all the wonders they've seen. And the royal official just kind of seems to blow on that. And I understand why, because the royal official has something deep upon his heart. He is concerned about his son. And he comes back to Jesus. He's like, Jesus, I need you to get yourself over to my home in Capernaum and heal my son before he dies. It's urgent. There's no more begging. In fact, the words, the second time he talks to Jesus, it's not begging. Those words, come, is an imperative. It's a command. He's an official. He's used to giving officials. And he's saying, sir, come down. Come to my house. And with compassion that we know is the way of Jesus. Jesus responds in verse 50. I'd love for you to look at it with me. A short promise. You may go. Your son will live. And here's something incredible happens. A significant shift takes place. So significant that, again, the editor in my Bible, maybe yours as well, deemed it so significant that a whole new paragraph starts right in the middle of a verse. Doesn't always happen. So we're still in verse 50. And John says that this man, the royal official, the one who had walked 20 rigorous miles to find a miracle worker, the one who had begged at the feet of Jesus and then commanded Jesus to come to his house and heal his son, a man whose faith was first based on the signs that Jesus did, John records here that the man took Jesus at his word and departed. Now, we read the rest of the passage. We know there's some good news coming in verse 51. But in that moment, Jesus offers a word of promise. And the royal official then starts to turn away from Cana and starts to walk back to Capernaum. And as he makes those first steps back on again that rugged journey that he had just been on, in that moment, there are no assurances. In that moment, there are no guarantees. In that moment, he's not able to FaceTime the servants at home to get an update on what's going on here. He has Jesus' spoken words of promise ringing in his ears and resting on his heart. He hears the promise of Jesus, and he takes Jesus at his word and departs. Friends, let me ask you, does that sound like faith to you? Faith is more than just seeing evidence and then believing. This is a remarkable growth in the faith of this royal official to turn back around and go home simply at the word of Jesus. In Westview, oh, how I would love to stand up here and tell you that this is how I always respond to the promises of Jesus. I turn and go. It's all good. Do you believe that? See, in this long, rigorous walk of life, where we're invited to walk by faith and not by sight, the challenge for me, and perhaps the challenge for you as well, is to take Jesus at his word and go. To go forward in faith. You know, when Jesus promises his presence, when Jesus promises his protection, when Jesus promises his provision, when Jesus promises his strength, when Jesus promises answered prayers, when Jesus promises his rest. Now, there's some days where I'm a lot better at that than other days. Again, you know, the seismograph thing that we just showed you. But this is a reality of growing faith. I'm not always going to be perfect at this faith thing. But friends, faith is more than just being dependent on those tangible items like the Galileans could see. But by the Spirit's encouragement, we want to continue to grow more and more in those moments where we hear the word of Jesus and we take Jesus at his word and we move forward in faith. Which then leads us to the end of the passage, which gets a little complex, at least in our conversation today. One of the things we see, he goes and departs, and we find that the royal official is still on his long journey home, and some of his servants meet him on the way. And we know that he's been traveling for a little while, because we'll find out later that the time when Jesus talked to him was yesterday, the day before. So he's been going for a little while, and these servants come up to him, and all this time, this man has been traveling, clinging to hope, trusting in the promises of Jesus. They've been on his heart, having faith, and the servants come up to him and share incredible news, news that his heart had so desperately wanted to hear. They share, "Your boy's alive." Now, I'm so intrigued by the fact that John records the question that the royal official asks. And I may be even more intrigued by the fact that this royal official even thinks to ask the question, right? Like, there's a part of me on one hand says, what does it matter what time this took place? Like your boy's alive. This is good news. Let's celebrate this. And on the other hand, we might consider it to be immensely important. Because we find that the son's health turned the corner at the very moment, the exact time when Jesus said those words, "Your boy will live," which is also the exact moment when this man took Jesus at his word and departed. And so it's this moment where the official's faith was not because he had seen some great sign, not because of a miracle. He had no evidence in that moment. He did not have concrete proof, but he left in faith. He took Jesus at his word, and as he's talking with his servants, this is his testimony to the servants and to all his household. Jesus spoke, and I had in faith, I left and went. And as his servants come and talk to him, his servants have a testimony as well. The testimony is this: we've seen a great sign. Your son has been healed. He's feeling better. All is good. And so what we have here at the end of this passage is a testimony about faith, and we have a testimony about a sign. And it feels to me that the ending of this passage brings us back to where we began, this peculiar relationship between signs and having faith. The servants share good news. The boy is alive. It's a sign. And the man puts together two and two, recognizing that the moment of Jesus' words and the moment of his departure is the moment of his faith, and that's the moment his son was made well. There's a faith and there's sign. There's a sign and there's faith. And the combination of these two together leads to this. It says, so he and all his household believe. The man who already had faith in Jesus the miracle worker, the man who already had faith to take Jesus at his word, his faith continues to grow. He believes. And the whole household believes. Remember, they're only witnesses to the great sign that is performed by Jesus. They're witnesses now of the testimony of the royal official. Now they believe. Something's at work here in this relationship between a sign and having faith. And in one hand, it almost feels like the waters are just getting muddy all the more. Maybe we feel that way. But I want to invite us this morning to consider that they're not being muddied at all, but instead of considering faith and signs as opposites, to consider them as opposing factors, but to consider the relationship not as peculiar, but as necessary. That a part of a growing faith is a both and. That there's a complementary relationship between signs and faith when it comes to our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to challenge us, Westview, to consider that that's actually what's happening right here, this moment, this day. A relationship between faith and signs. Because you and I, we've got our Bibles open in front of us, and we are reading, and we are studying, and we're considering, we're talking about a sign of Jesus, a miracle that Jesus performs, a testimony, a sign that helps us, per John's desires, to have faith in Jesus. And we were challenged a moment ago today to hear the promises of Jesus and to take him at his word, to act on faith even before we see it, even before we have concrete proof, even before all is certain. Faith and signs and faith, the two are not mutually exclusive, but are mutually beneficial for us as we follow Jesus. You have signs and miracles of Jesus that assure us and encourage us that Jesus is someone we can have faith in. And in our faith in Jesus, it gives us the lens through which we can see the power and the work and the happenings of Jesus in our lives and what he's doing in us and through us and amongst us. And all of that is part of a growing faith. A growing faith. I mean, that's what I have. I assure you this morning, I do not have my PhD in faith. Faith is not what comes up when I do a spiritual gifts inventory. But there's moments where I witness Jesus at work. And then there's moments where I take him at his word. And it's all part of this growing faith that I have. Maybe you feel the same. And I'll just say that it's this growing faith that is at the heart of John's purpose of his gospel. This core relationship we have with Jesus. John is giving us signs, and he's giving us signs so that we may believe. Because ultimately, we're going to come to the great sign, the big sign, the meta-narrative sign, the sign that God is all about, and that's Jesus and his perfect life that was without sin, and yet his death that died on the cross for all of our sins, and then his glorious resurrection from the dead, putting to death death itself and securing life for all of us. This great sign. And Jesus does this so that you and I, all of us who put our faith in Jesus, when we believe in him, John assures us that we would then have life in his name. And I pray that they may be so for each and every one of us. May it be so. Amen. Friends, this morning before we come to prayer, one of the things I share with you before, I think that don't love to give announcements during prayers. So let me just give you a little update around a pastoral care that was sent out this weekend, and just want to give you an update and want to invite you to pray as well along with me. So just want to remind you, we shared yesterday, we want to be in prayer for Debbie Fries, Debbie and Brian. As you might remember, Debbie, 18 years ago, was diagnosed with breast cancer, overcame that. More recently, 2+ years ago, was diagnosed with an aggressive form of brain cancer, and has been battling that for 25+ months. And even more recently, she was diagnosed with a form of leukemia. The oncologist says all three of them are separate. They're not related to one another. She has been battling a courageous battle. And we were made aware this weekend that there's been some a brain bleed from the cancer that is inoperable. And the doctors are saying that this is coming, her time with us is going to be coming to a conclusion soon. And so we want to pray for Brian, for Debbie. Brian, we pray for you. We love you. We love Debbie. We're praying for you all. And we want to invite you to join us in praying for Brian and Debbie during this time. We'll include that in our congregational prayer today. So I just wanted to give you that update, and we're just grateful for God's gracious presence in these moments as a congregation as well. So would you please join me in prayer? God, we come to you today, and we are again thankful for your word. We're thankful for all that it reveals to us. Sometimes, God, your word is really clear, and sometimes it takes a little bit of brain power and heart work to navigate what's it saying. But in all the things, God, we are thankful for time, we're thankful for space to study it together and for the leading of the Holy Spirit and to continue to reveal yourself to us. God, we are thankful this morning for an opportunity to gather again today as a congregation and to here at Westview. Whether we're brand new this morning for the first time or maybe we've been here since the very beginning, we're grateful that we can come together. We're grateful for relationships, God, that we have with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. Again, some longstanding, some fairly new. We thank you that we can share life together and walk through this journey of faith. We also thank you, God, for places and opportunities for us to grow in our faith. We recognize our faith is something that continues to grow no matter how old we are, how long we've been walking with Jesus. So we thank you for discipleship opportunities, discovery hour, youth groups, Bible studies, small groups, triads, and all different ways that we can grow. We thank you, too, God, for opportunities to put our faith in action through service, using gifts and ministries right here in this space, serving with local missions, supporting global mission partners. And God, too, we thank you that as we share this life together, we can pray for one another. We do pray for Marv this morning, his recovery from recent stents put in. Pray for his healing and wholeness there. And God, we do pray for Debbie as well today. We ask that your gracious presence would be with her and with Brian in these days to come. May we support and surround them with our love and our care. God, we pray for those, pray for comfort for those who mourn this day. We pray for reconciliation where relationships are struggling. We pray for guidance and leading of your Spirit in our lives and in the life here at Westview. We especially pray that for the governing board that meets again today. We pray for families and communities and schools that are represented by this body here today. God, we again pray for our nation and our world in what feels like, again, such moments of high tension and what seems to be acts of violence that leave so many of us so unsettled. God, we would pray in all things and in all ways your shalom, your wholeness would come in full. And God, may that start here in the church as we follow Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We are indeed grateful again for his life, his death, and his resurrection. That great sign that assures us that when we put our hope and our trust in him, life is ours, abundant life now and life eternal. We are so, so grateful, God. May we live these lives of faith as we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray all of this in his name, amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.